Welcome to St. John Lutheran Church and Christian Preschool. Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
Or maybe I should say, good morning, sinners. Good morning. I'm glad you said it back to me, some of you. That's good. According to Martin Luther, we're all saints and we're all sinners. And on this All Saints Sunday, even as we remember the people who have already died and gone to heaven, we also celebrate that because of Jesus and his blood, even though we're sinners, we have a place in heaven too. So stand, greet the people around you, and say, good morning, saint. Hey, good morning, St. Hannah. And you can remain standing as we sing our gathering hymn number 422. We'll sing verses 1 through 4. Congratulations, you made the time change. Daylight savings time is over. Now we can sing that old Simon and Garfunkel hit, "Hello, Darkness, My Old Friend." Soon you'll be here at 4 p.m. As we enter this darker time of year, we gather together to support each other and remember that even in the darkest of times, we have a light that shines, knowing that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit is with you all.
Thank you.
please join me in the prayer of the day. Merciful God, gracious and benevolent, through your Son you invite all the world to a meal of mercy. Grant that we may eagerly follow his call and bring us with all your saints into your life of justice and joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And you may be seated for the reading.
Our reading today is from the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, beginning with verse 11. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Here ends the reading.
And I'd like to invite the kids to come forward for the children's message. And as they do, let's sing the first verse of This Little Light of Mine. Good morning, guys. How are you? Good? Good? Good. So you guys know I like you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So because to show you how much I like you, I brought treats for you today. Okay? All right. Anybody like Twinkies? You do? Would you want a Twinkie?
Yes, please.
Okay. There you go. I got one bite left, and you can have it.
What the heck?
Anybody? Sorry, that's all. I was hungry this morning. That's all that's left. Okay, well, that's all right. Twinkies aren't very good for you anyway. Anybody like cheese sticks? Anybody? No? No?
I would like it if it was...
You like... You can't raise your sister's hand for her. Okay, you want it? Okay. I haven't eaten on it.
But you opened it.
Oh. Okay, well, it's all right. You can have it. It's fine. Here, you know what? Oh, wait. You know what? It's remembered. I want a bite, okay? There you go. No? Okay. Well, wait a minute. That's really good. You guys like candy, though, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You didn't get enough of it? I shouldn't have taken such a big bite. You didn't get enough candy this week for Halloween?
I got enough.
Did Do anybody have candy left over?
I still do.
Yeah, I have some candy left over too. But I'll share it with you. This candy is left over from Valentine's Day 2 years ago. Okay? But I'm sure it's fine. Anybody want it?
No.
Do you want it? Here, put your hand out. There you go.
No,
there you go. Oh, I guess there was only one anyway. There you go. So, do you guys like your treats? No? Oh. Well, sorry, there wasn't enough to go around. I just gave you what was left over. Do you like getting leftovers?
Yep.
Yeah. You see how much I like you when I give you leftovers? It's kind of like if I said to my wife, "Dear, I just want to show you how much I love you, and so I'm going to make dinner for you tonight." And I go into the kitchen, and I get it ready, and I call her to come out, and she comes to the table, and there I have ready for her SpaghettiOs, left over from a few nights ago, and the rest of my pop from earlier in the day, and for dessert, I have for her the rest of the apple that I didn't eat.
Ew.
How do you think she'd like that?
Not very much.
Not very much? Do you think she would feel loved?
No.
No. So if you really love someone, right, you don't give them your leftovers, you give them the best you have to give, right? And it's kind of like that with God, too. Like, say, for example, you had 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, $10. And suppose you went out and you bought all the Twinkies and cheese sticks you wanted and everything you wanted, and then you got to church and it's time for the offering, and you dig into your pocket, and all you have left are 1, 2, 3 pennies. That's it. You give God your leftovers. You think that's a good thing?
Yeah.
Better than nothing, huh? A lot of people think that. Okay, so the Bible, though, gives us a different idea. The Bible says, instead of that, how about you got your $10 right away, before you give to anything else, before you buy anything else, you take $1 and you set it aside. And then you still have $9 left to spend on whatever you want to spend. But then when you go to church on Sunday, you still have a whole dollar to give to God. That's a pretty good advice, I think. So let's bow our heads, fold our hands, and everybody repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for everything you give me. Help me to put you first. Amen. Okay, I really do like you, and I really did bring a treat, and it's fresh, and it's not used, and I just bought it at the grocery store. It's candy cotton grapes, and if you go over there to see Susan, she'll give you some nice, fresh grapes. Thanks for coming up.
They're awesome. They taste like cotton candy.
They do taste like cotton candy. How do they do that? I don't know. Bye, guys. Thanks for coming up. And let's stand for the gospel acclamation. The Holy Gospel for today is written in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. This is the gospel of the Lord. And you may be seated. Well, back in 1989, 30 years ago this year, Cher had a huge comeback hit called If I Could Turn Back Time. Go ahead, sing it with me.
If I could turn back time, if I could find a way, I'd take back those words that have hurt you, and I'd say.
Apparently a lot of you don't know that song, or you don't want to admit, thank you, Marcia, or you don't want to admit that you know that song, but you know, that's okay, because we can't really turn back time. Oh wait, we can! This is the one day out of the year we get to turn back time. We got a whole extra hour today, a whole extra hour this week that we can use to consider making a different choice, to contemplate making a change. Now, this is All Saints Sunday, and All Saints Sunday, we remember those who have died. But also today, Jesus challenges us to think about how we want to live. Not just about those who have died, but how do we want to live now, before we die? How do we want to treat others in this life? How are we going to use our limited time that God has given us? And how are we going to spend those treasures that God has given us to use while we're here?
Okay, maybe we need to go over this one more time.
Do we have to?
Well, sweetie, I don't know if you're getting a good grasp of the ratios here.
Fine.
Okay, all right, step by step. Before we spend any money, what's the first thing that we do?
Give to God.
Good, and why do we do that?
Because he first loved and gave to us.
Good, 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 good. Okay, great. Now the second jar here is for so many different things.
Hold on.
What?
God lives in heaven, right?
Yeah, he lives in heaven.
And heaven has streets paved with gold, right?
Streets paved with gold, sure, yes.
So why does he need my money if I don't even have a job?
Okay, all right, so good question. So basically when we give to God, we're giving to the church.
So the church gives the money to God?
No, the church keeps the money.
Oh, does God know about this?
Yes, he basically built the system, yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay. See, sweetie, as you grow up, there is nothing better than giving back to God. In the Bible, it's the only place God says, test me on this. When it comes to your money, he says, test me. It's almost like he's saying, I dare you. And your mom and I, we do just that. Even when things are tough, we always give the first part of our money back to God. And then the church takes that money and does all kinds of things to make God famous, like camps and mission trips and even VBS that you love so much, and even helps out people that are in need. You can't outgive God. And when God says test him and you do it, he will come through every single time.
Okay, Dad, I get it. I do have one question, though.
Okay.
Why do we need to test God if he already knows all the answers?
That's good. Let me just retrace my steps here, just for a minute.
So the kid brings up a good point, doesn't she? I mean, if God has heaven full of streets paved with gold, why does God need our money? It's a very good question. And the answer is that God, the creator of heaven and earth, God, the maker and owner of everything, doesn't need to receive our money. God doesn't need our money. We need to give it. We need to give it. And there are many reasons for that, but I think one of the most important is that by giving to God, it strengthens that relationship and it reminds us how important our relationship with God is. You want to know what's important to you? Really what's important to you? Look at your bank statement. Look at your credit card statement. It is so true. When things are important to us, we spend money on them. And when we spend money on things, they become important to us. Jesus said it another way. He said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We give part of our treasure to God because we want to keep our hearts with God and to remember how important that walk, that relationship is with God for us. And it reminds us to give thanks. Which leads me to, I think, the second most important reason why we need to give to God, that it encourages an attitude of gratitude. When we are full of gratitude for all that God has given us, it gives us all kinds of amazing benefits for our lives. I came across, just this week, in fact, a list of 29 scientifically proven benefits of gratitude. Okay, these are all backed by science. Having an attitude of gratitude makes us happier. Being grateful reduces the symptoms of depression. Gratitude improves self-esteem. It improves sleep. Having an attitude of gratitude has been proven to reduce pain. Having gratitude lowers blood pressure. It strengthens the immune system. It makes us kinder people. Gratitude makes us more likable to others. It improves relationships. An attitude of gratitude makes us more productive. It makes us more creative. We're less materialistic. We're more humble and more optimistic. And that's only half of the list, right? Giving to God reminds us to be grateful for all that we have, all that God has given us, all that God has done for us. God doesn't need to receive our money. We need to give it. It makes us healthier and happier people. So how much should I give to God? Right? That's always the big question. How much should I give? I can't answer that question for you. That's between you and God. Every one of us needs to go to God in prayer and let God's Spirit lead us to where we need to be. I can tell you what the biblical guideline is for giving. The guideline given in the Bible for giving to God is the tithe. The tithe has been accepted Christian practice for over 1,500 years. A tithe is 10%. 10% up off of the top before we give to anything else, we give the first 10% to God. It's all over in the Old Testament. It talks about the tithe in verses like Leviticus 27:30. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Or like from our video today, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Try it. Test me, says God. Or Deuteronomy 14:23, the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first. Or my favorite passage on tithing comes from the book of Numbers. It's actually Numbers 18. And in Numbers 18, Moses is speaking to the Levites. Now, the Levites are the people that the Israelites hired to be their priests. They perform the priestly functions, and in return, they receive payment from the Israelites. And Moses is talking to the Levites, telling them what to do with this income. And he says, "You shall set apart an offering to the Lord, a tithe." He says, "You shall," and he warns them against not tithing. He says, "You shall not profane the holy gifts of the Israelites, on pain of death." On pain of death. So I'd like to introduce our stewardship campaign for this year: Give 10% or die. It's in the Bible. Just kidding, right? Moses isn't talking to you unless you happen to be a Levite. Wait, am I a Levite? Anyway, the guideline is 10%. But whatever you give, whether you give 10%, whether you give less than 10%, whether you give more than 10%, whatever you give, you are not giving to save yourself. You have already been saved by Jesus Christ. He's already taken care of that. As Paul writes to the Ephesians today, you already have an inheritance from God. You have already received eternity from God. Because Jesus died and rose again and is seated in the heavenly places, you have a spot on those streets of gold. Now, that's pretty amazing. I mean, even if God does have streets of gold in heaven, they're not there for God. They're there for us when we get there. The tithe is not a requirement. It's a guideline. It's a gift. You might not be ready for a tithe. That's okay. But you might be ready to take a step up toward a tithe. The sheet that's in your bulletin, you don't have to take it out right now. But there's a chart in there. Josh Johnson did a great job going over all this with us last week. But that sheet might be really helpful as you think and pray this week about what you want to do.
If I could turn back time.
We got a chance to turn back time. We got an extra hour this week. What if we gave God 10% of that hour? What if we took 6 minutes this week? 6 minutes to contemplate making a change. 6 minutes to think about how much your relationship with God means to you. 6 minutes to think about how grateful to God you are. And 6 minutes to consider what percentage of my income is God calling me to give. I want to end with a personal story. In 2010, Susan and I, yes, that picture actually is from 2010. My wife is laughing. In 2010, Susan and I made the decision together that I was going to make a career path change. That after 20 years of serving God as a pastor, I felt called to now serve God as a funeral director. So I resigned from the church that I'd been at for 10 years, and I began an apprenticeship with a local funeral home in Madison. And in addition to working full-time as an apprentice at the funeral home, I went back to school. I started studying chemistry. I studied business law, anatomy and physiology, all the prerequisites that I needed to get into mortuary school. And it was a really interesting time. It was scary and fun and challenging, exciting and confusing, but a lot of the time it was just weird, okay? It was weird because for the first time in over two decades, I was not a called pastor anymore. And that felt strange. Like, I had to negotiate with my boss in order to get time off to go to church. I mean, I couldn't get away from church before. I had to, like, ask special permission just to go to church on Sunday morning. And when we did go to church, because I had resigned my call at the previous church, we didn't have a church to go to. And so we had to find a congregation to go to. And then when we did go, it was weird doing the offering, right? The offering was weird now because for the previous 20 years, we had been tithers. We had always given 10%. It was just important to me. That was something that I felt like we needed to do. I mean, besides the whole Levite priest thing, I didn't want to be a hypocrite. I didn't want to be a pastor who taught people what the Bible says and then wasn't willing to do it himself. And so we were tithers for 20 years. And then all of a sudden I realized, I'm not teaching, I'm not preaching, they're not keeping track, I'm not a member here, I have no obligation to give 10% anymore. It just like hit me. It's like, I don't have to do this. And then one day I casually said to Susan, so, are we still going to tithe? And she looked at me like I had lobsters coming out of my ears, right? She's like, I don't even understand the question. And she said, yes, of course we're going to tithe. And of course, she was right, as she almost always is. She was right. Tithing, giving to God, is not an obligation. It's not an obligation. We did it. We needed to do it in order to keep that relationship strong, especially during this time when we were going through so many changes and we weren't sure about the future. We needed that relationship to be strong. And as it turns out, after 9 months at the funeral home, I kind of discovered that what I thought was a career path change was really just a detour back to what I was doing before. It was kind of a break, like kind of really intense continuing education for 9 months that just brought me right back to being a pastor. It was like I needed to go there for 9 months and kind of chill out while God was getting other stuff ready. God didn't need to receive my money. I needed to give it to keep that relationship strong and to keep trusting God. I needed to trust God for what was going to come next and trust that God was going to get it all figured out and that I would end up exactly where I needed to be, which is here. If I hadn't gone to the funeral home for those 9 months when you guys were ready to call a pastor, I would not have been available to you. And yet somehow God figured that all out so that we would be here now. And we are so grateful for that. And so because that relationship with God is so important to us and trusting God, and because we are so grateful to God, Susan and I have talked about it, we are going to be taking a step up in our giving. And we invite you to take a step up with us. Amen. Let's stand and sing. Our next hymn is number 423.
Thank you.
let's proclaim together what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let's join our hearts together in prayer. God of grace, your abundant love is staggering, that even in times of hardship, we are blessed. Lord, send your Spirit into our hearts and help us to know how you want us to respond to your amazing grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of hope and strength, we pray that you would be with all who are in need. We ask especially today that you would bring hope and healing to John Rima, Gladys Kellogg, Leon Isaacson, Dwayne Ortmeyer, Ron Myers, Jack Holbert, Mike Lau, Sandra Link, and Dan Carey. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those who are on active duty in the armed services and their families, especially Kim Hall, Alex Binger, and Robson Shankland. We also lift up before you now those others who are on our hearts as we name them silently before you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who grieve the loss of loved ones, and we give you thanks, Lord, for the lives of your saints who have died in this last year. We remember with fondness Evelyn Cleone Starbuck Rademacher, Dale Dwayne Bunston Sr., Daryl Lee Sherbin, Donald Harm Ryer, Evelyn Ruth Olson Fitzgerald, Irene Rachel Helen Olchenbrun Maiman, Wilma Marie Kabrick Hant, Marietta Bradley Sylvester, Emma Marie Lowton Seeker, Lester William King Jr., Benita Ann Jorgensen Milhan, Robert Bob Dale Picken, Jeannie LaVon Tomsick, Helga Wegenroth King, Betty Jean Cortez Wendell, Keith Allen Quaid, Sandra Jane Graneman Myers, Lorraine Catherine Bays Malman, Helen Limaster Youngerman, Jean Ellen Laird Semmelhack, Darla K. Ritter Davidson, Matthew David Matt Dahl, Andrew Andy Melrose Jr., Marion Alice Wickman Krieger, and all others we have lost. Gracious God, we entrust these saints to your eternal glory. Give us hope and peace, knowing that we will be together with them again. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we all say, Amen. Jesus commanded us that before we come to the altar, we should be reconciled with our brothers and sisters. And so, in keeping with his command, the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Also with you.
And let's share that peace with one another. And you may be seated as we continue with our offering hymn number 462. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And we pray together the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Everybody is invited and welcome to come receive the body and blood of Christ as we remember that even though we are sinners, in Christ's blood we are made saints. We have the home communion kits on the altar today, reminding us that that communion is being extended out to many other people in our community who are also a part of this this community of saints that we are together. We have both wine and grape juice available. The grape juice is white. And in the center of the tray, we have gluten-free wafers at both sides. Anyone who's not communing today is welcome to come forward for a blessing. The food of God for the people of God. Come, for all is ready. And you may be seated. This is the body of Christ given for you. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. I want to say thank you to Steve and Susan Shanklin for the altar flowers today in memory of parents and a sister. Come on up, Monty. As Monty is coming up, just a reminder, we have one service next Sunday at 9 o'clock, and this is mostly for the people who are listening on the radio. We tape the service, we record the service at 8 o'clock, and then we play it at 9 o'clock, but because there's just going to be a service at 9, it's not going to be recorded at 8, so there's not going to be a service on the radio next Sunday at 9, but we will post it on our website, as usual, on Monday, so you'll still be able to listen to it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm all excited.
Use the microphone.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Finally, you're going to be here. One more week. We have the consecration Sunday next week, as Pastor announced, 9 a.m. with a brunch following. And I just like to share a little of my wife and I's family history here. We've been members here a long time. We've seen a lot of these All Saints Sundays. We saw a lot of people come and go. We raised three girls here. We struggled with priorities in the past.